This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. There are people in every business, in every industry, that just change the way things are done. Those people are at the heart of a series we started this week. It's called The Innovators. And today, I look at the first black woman in the country to charter a bank. Maggie Walker was her name. Nick Vanderkolk has her story from Richmond, Virginia.
Born toward the end of the Civil War, Maggie Walker had a unique pedigree. Her black mother worked for a Union spy, while her white father served as a Confederate soldier. In the 1880s, Walker graduated from one of the first post-war black high schools in Richmond and began a career as a teacher. Here's historian Alvatrice Belchez.
Now, she would later marry. Back in those days, if you got married, for the most part, you had to relinquish your teaching position. So that probably really was the impetus for her moving into something else.
That something else was money management. She took over a failing fraternal organization that provided burial services for former slaves and free blacks, sort of an earlier version of life insurance. Her title?
The Right Worthy Grand Council Secretary Treasurer of the Independent Order of the Sons and Daughters of St. Luke.
That's Ethan Bullard. He works at the Maggie Walker Historic Site in Richmond. By the end of the century, Walker had turned things around, and the company she headed was meeting the bottom line. She was on a roll, opened a newspaper, led a boycott protesting segregation of Richmond streetcars, and then she moved her attention to banking.
White banks might, in some cases, not welcome black patrons at all. They might accept deposits but not give out loans. But Maggie Walker said, hey, why don't we put our money to use ourselves?
Using seed money from her fraternal organization, she went about setting up a bank.
And to actually learn some of the daily machinations of banking, she actually shadowed a white banker.
Just to reiterate, we're talking about the South in the beginning of the 1900s. Jim Crow was in full effect. But as crazy as it sounds, there doesn't seem to be any direct evidence that she ran into opposition from white bankers.
Whites really generally didn't see the black banks as competition because their clientele was different. I think, too, that for Mrs. Walker, people were less intimidated because she was a lady.
Later, though, once her bank was established, she turned her attention to building a general store in the commercial center of White Richmond, and that got a very different reaction.
She was given an offer of $10,000 to not open her business. There's a group of Richmond retailers that threatened to boycott the wholesalers who are providing the merchandise for Maggie Walker's emporium. It was a direct threat to some of these segregation policies.
Historian Alvatrice Belchez is a bit more generous to the white retailers from that time.
There was a lot of interracial cooperation behind the scenes. People can be territorial regardless of race. You move in a new dry goods store and you've got people in close proximity, they're going to have a problem with it regardless.
That said, in many speeches throughout her life, Maggie Walker stressed the importance of blacks to patronize black businesses. She called the prejudice of white business a lion, and the best way to kill that lion? Stop feeding it. Walker died in 1934. Her bank went on to become the oldest continually operated by African Americans until it was bought out by a South Dakota bank just 3 years ago. In Richmond, Virginia, I'm Nick Vanderkolk for Marketplace.
You can hear our entire series, The Innovators, at marketplace.org.